This is the Arts Alive podcast from the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung, still is Bill DeYoung, and always kind of has been. Hey, listen, I'm really happy today because Noah Friedman is in the studio with us. She is an actress who has appeared in multiple shows at Jobsite Theater and a couple of others that we're going to talk about, and is becoming a very familiar face at Jobsite Theater. Hello, Noah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're from Tampa, so you were saying you don't get over here that much to St. Pete.
I am. I'm Tampa born and raised, but I will say growing up in the theater scene in Tampa, I definitely made it to lots of to shows on this side of the bay, especially American Stage, Free Fall.
Well, the joke around here is not a joke, is that Free Fall is like one of our, I don't use the word we, favorites to go to because they have great parking.
They do. Because lots of parking options.
I gotta tell you, coming to the Strass Center, it's like, sometimes it's a challenge. Anyway, you are in the cast of POTUS. Yes. And you want to tell me what the subhead is because I can't remember it. It's just dumbass.
POTUS, or behind every dumbass is seven women trying to keep him alive. I think I got that right.
Okay. Well, we'll fact check on the way out. But yes. POTUS is running through September 29th in the Schomburg Playhouse. House, which is the black box that Jobsite uses, as opposed to the Jabe Theater, which they use sometimes too, which is where Rocky Horror was, which we're going to get to.
Yes.
Let's talk about POTUS, though. It's really, really, really funny.
Yeah.
And it's a farce. I mean, it's like with the doors there, seven doors, it's like slamming doors. It's like one of those.
100%. Kind of the classic, like, noises off, in and out, slamming doors, lots of comedy with doors, and it's definitely a farce, yes.
And as the title suggests, it's all women. And these are all women who are somehow in the orbit of POTUS, President of the United States, folks. Mm-hmm. You figured that part out.
Yeah.
Tell me about Dusty, your character.
Yes. So I play Dusty. She's obviously one of the seven women. And she plays, I believe that this is description that's used for her in most places is the president's dalliance, you know, his plaything.
There is a first lady.
She's
in the show too.
She's not very happy with Dusty. Dusty is not, she's the only woman, you know, besides from the first lady who, you can consider staff as well, that isn't part of the president's staff.
Oh, like immediate.
Right, exactly. She is this girl from Iowa. She's been flown in because of something that I won't spoil, but she is the president's little side thing, and she comes in and creates even more chaos and brings even more.
She's a troublemaker.
She is. But she also, what I love about Dusty is that she really has no idea why people don't want her there. She's such a bright, lovely human and just is so excited to be there doesn't understand why it's a problem.
To put it in context, if you haven't seen the show yet, and I imagine you will, everybody around the president is kind of swirling, including the chief of staff, including the first lady, including the press secretary, and Dusty, and it's all a big sort of tornado of craziness, and Dusty kind of comes into that and adds to it considerably.
Yes.
So, and I think, I love all the actresses, but the characters to me, because of their self-interest and interest in protecting this idiot president, were all kind of like dopey. And I thought Dusty was my favorite character because she's not. I mean, she's dopey in a different way.
Exactly. I agree. All of these, because she's the one that's kind of removed from the staff. And she's secretly super smart too. There's a point where she turns and you're like, oh, this girl's got something behind her, as opposed to just kind of the ditzy, blonde that comes in.
But she comes in with blue lips because she's drinking a slushy.
She does, yes. Lots of blue. I figured out a hack to get my tongue blue finally, and I'm eating Airheads backstage, to make it more realistic.
Is it blue? Are they blue through the whole show? I can't remember. Do you at some point sort of take that stuff off?
It fades at some point, starts super blue, and then starts to fade. So by the end, I think it's pretty faded. They're pretty blue the whole time.
President never really appears. He sort of appears, but it's not really him. I can't really explain it here. But there are no men in the cast, and that gives it an extra dimension of something.
Yes. 100%.
Powerful powerful women. You have been, this is by my count, one, two, three, fourth job site show?
This is my fourth job site show. I feel very lucky to
job site is, you know, there are so many great professional theaters around here. Mm-hmm. And I it's no secret that I'm a big fan of what job site does.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about each of them, you know, by themselves for a minute. But I mean, was that a tough gig to get? I mean, did you audition? I know you have a degree in theater from what, USF?
UF, University of Florida.
You went to Gainesville.
I did.
I lived in Gainesville for many years. Yay. 22 years I lived in Gainesville.
Oh, wow. I love Gainesville.
Been gone a long time ago. Anyway, so you did the theater program up there. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, so back home to Tampa.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to work for a job site theater. How tough a gig is that? Nut to crack.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I love telling this story because I love working for job site. I've had nothing but incredible experiences working for them. And, you know, I graduated in 2022 from the University of Florida.
Okay.
I came home, not exactly, you know, came home to Tampa, planning to move after the summer. I don't even know exactly where, but planning to
anywhere
leave
but
Tampa.
Here.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, got it.
And yeah. Actually, it was my mom who was like, you know, I know that you don't want to stay in Tampa necessarily, but I found these unified auditions. Tampa does these unified auditions yearly, and job site attends those. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll do that. You know, like, why not?
Where do they hold those?
They hold those at the, I think the last couple of years it's been at the HCC Theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was. And so I was kind of like, okay, whatever, I'll do that. I went, and then actually, funny story is that I got a callback. The only callbacks I got were actually job site. There's a bunch of theaters there. Mm-hmm. And both of the emails went to spam. And then like 2 weeks later, I get a text from David Jenkins, who's the artistic director of job site. And he was like, hey, can you please check your spam folder? I didn't know him at the time. And he was like, some people are telling us our emails are going to spam. We've got these auditions coming up. It was like a couple days before the callback. And I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't see this. I would love to come to the audition. Count me in. And they were actually Zoom callbacks. Because at the time.
He's a UF guy too, right?
He did his, he got his mass MFA from the University of Florida. So
you go to the audition. Was this for Dracula?
No, it was just a general audition. And then the callbacks were for
I see how that works.
Picasso at the Lapin Agile, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. Did you do the Picasso one? Were you in that?
I wasn't. I auditioned. I didn't get it. The next day was the Dracula one. I went to the callback. Again, not knowing anyone, not understanding really what I was auditioning or who I was auditioning for. And then got an email a couple, maybe like 30 minutes after the callback from Dave. And he said, hey, would you want to be Armina? And I said, absolutely not understand, not knowing what I was getting myself into in a great way.
Well, that was a pretty spectacular production. I can't get the image of Renfield's heart being removed out of my mind.
Yeah.
What was that? I mean, to come from a college experience and then suddenly find yourself, you know, I don't know, covered with blood and all that, you know, on this stage in Tampa.
It was so much fun. I remember, and, you know, that scene specifically, that heart scene and the transfusion, that whole thing, that caused a couple of people to get a little nauseous in the audience for a couple of the nights. We had some pass outers. I don't know if that's the right term, but Giles and Paul are people that, again, growing up in Tampa and watching theater in Tampa are people that I knew and was familiar with, not new personally, but was like, oh my gosh, Giles Davis. He had come to my high school. I went to Blake High School and taught a Shakespeare master class.
Wow.
And then fast forward 6-7 years, we were in Shakespeare show together, and that was like a cool full circle.
And these are really nice people too.
Such amazing people.
Paul is the most down to earth guy.
Oh my
in the
goodness!
World.
You can't. I mean, my experience with job site and the company and the ensemble there, I've not met a bad a mean person there. Mm-hmm. It's just a really awesome community. I think
David roots those out. They don't make
100%. And he creates this culture where everyone's just so cool and so just excited to do theater. It's not. I don't know how to explain it other than it's just a really great ensemble that they've brought together and that they keep adding to every year. And I was just lucky enough in 2022 to be added.
When did I see you in The Immigrant at StageWorks?
Yeah, that was this past February at StageWorks.
That was this year?
Yeah, that was this year,
that was,
right?
What day is this?
I know. I love that show. I actually, it was really special to me. I was so excited to be a part of it. And then one thing led to another and I got to do that show for a second time a couple weeks later in Sarasota with a different cast, but I got to play the same role, and it's just, it was, I love that show. It's such a beautiful story. I was really, that was a significant chunk of my spring this year.
I think I sat there and talked to the four of you.
You did, yeah.
I'm it's all coming back to me.
Right.
That was a wonderful show. And then it was back to Job Site for 12th Night, or am I backwards?
So 12th Night was this past December, January, and then went The Immigrant Again, and then Rocky.
Okay. Well, let's go to 12th Night. Tell me what that experience was like. Had you done Shakespeare before?
My only significant experience with Shakespeare was in high school. I was a freshman, and I ended up in The Tempest. Mm-hmm. My twin sister and I, actually, we split the role of Ariel. Mm-hmm. It was kind of this cool spirit talking back and forth type thing.
Yeah.
But that was my own. I mean, obviously there was some Shakespeare in, you know, my period styles class at UF and kind of learning through school, but that was only my second Shakespeare production.
So what happens when you do Shakespeare at Job Site? Does Giles sort of pull you aside and say, no, say it this way?
Kinda, yeah. Giles is the, he serves, I think for most of their Shakespeare productions, this was the only one I've been in.
He's Mr. Bard.
Is there, exactly. Yeah. They're like text coach. And so him and David, especially when it comes to text, really take turns in enlightening us on, you know, the rules and how to say things. And yeah, so if you say something with the wrong punctuation or something, he very kindly and, you know, constructively is like,
oh, sure,
let's try it this way. Yeah. But it's really cool to have someone there who's such an expert on the text to make you so that you're not going up there, you know, doing it all wrong.
Were you blundering through it and saying, well, these and thous and right. No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong.
It's nice to, it's definitely nice to have someone to give you that, yes, that is the right way to do that or not, because there's so many rules and there's and I learned so much, you know. Again, I got to learn and, you know, got to do Shakespeare in school, but doing it professionally for the first time and being, again, surrounded by lots of actors in this area and Job Site who do Shakespeare yearly, I learned so much. And so that was a really, really great experience.
Rocky Horror Show, biggest show in Job Site history.
Yes.
You did about 420,000 performances.
Oh my gosh.
And you were, of course, Damn It, Janet.
Uh-huh.
And what was that? I don't know what to say. What was that like? I mean, it's like a circus on stage.
I can't explain to you how exciting and how much fun that show was to do.
Yeah.
There, you know, there are some shows where you get to the end of the run and you're like, okay, that I'm ready to be done. Mm-hmm. This one, I could do it forever. It felt like it, you know, I know that we added tons of shows and it extended and I just still wanted more. It was so much fun. And it, you know, Job Site tends to cast a lot of their shows at the beginning of the season. So when I found out that it was going to be in Rocky Horror, that was over a year ago by the time the show, you know, got on its feet. And it was just that year of anticipation leading up to starting. And then it just fulfilled my wildest dreams.
Were you a fan of that?
100%. Actually, I love this story as well. My introduction to Rocky Horror was when American Stage did it at the park.
Wow.
And Matthew McGee, who was our narrator, was Frankenfurter in that production. So that was really cool to be on the stage with him, you know, in this full circle moment.
Yeah.
But I loved Rocky Horror. My mom is a huge fan of Rocky, my family. And so I remember when Job Site announced it, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be in this. And I'm not really sure how that happened, but David.
Yeah, so much talent, and Colleen Cherry is so talented.
Oh my gosh.
And I haven't met Clay, but I've spoken with him, and
he's amazing.
Very, very talented people. Jeremy Douglas, who's been in that chair several times, is an incredible talent, and it's, if I may say, you know, maybe not totally objectively, he got into Job Site's orbit. That was fitting. I think that was just took time.
Oh yeah,
That needed to happen.
Yeah,
he and David work really well together.
They do. This is my, I have not been in a musical with Job Site before. So Jeremy has done sound. He did sound design for POTUS, and he did sound design for 12th Night, and I believe Dracula as well.
Probably.
But this was the first, probably.
Yeah.
This was the first time working with him as a music director. And you're right, he just falls straight into the, it was just such a, they just, I don't know. They gather such great people. Yeah.
Did you see Alice when they did that?
I missed Alice. I was in a production at the time, and I just wasn't able to get. We were running kind of at the same time, and I didn't get to see
Jeremy
it.
Jeremy was so heavily involved in that, and he and some of the other people, you know, wrote some of the songs together.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So what else have you done, Rihanna? Tell me. What am I not? Have you been at Free Fall? You've been American Stage. Always in Tampa.
So far, always in Tampa. Yeah. I started with jobs. And then I worked with Think Tank Theater in The Wolves.
Oh,
and then,
I didn't see that. You were in that.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, great, yeah. And then I went to Tampa Rep to do All My Sons.
Which I also didn't see. I'm sorry, Amelia, I didn't see that one.
I loved that one. Yeah. That one was special. And then, oh gosh, what was next? I'm totally, then I did The Crucible. It was a Tampa Rep Think Tank.
Yes.
CoPro. Yes. And then I think I'm blanking, but then I think we catch up.
you become part of the fabric, part of the theatrical fabric in town. So you still thoughts of I'm leaving Tampa, or you feel like this is cool now?
You know, right at the moment, I have a job that has me in Tampa.
A day job,
yeah. Right? And then right. I love the theater scene here, and I'm having so much fun. I'm definitely not sick of it yet. And to be able to do what I love professionally is really all that I'm looking for. So while it's still happening in Tampa, I have really no reason to get away from that.
It's funny because a lot of the guy, especially from job site, a lot of those people will say essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. I can work here and it's very fulfilling.
Exactly.
Why would I want to do anything else?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's how I feel, especially.
Matthew will do stuff in Sarasota. Uh-huh. You know, the others go, Paul has his business.
Right.
And, you know, everything's doing great. Have you been up to Paul's business?
I have not.
Bought a gold bracelet or two?
I have not, but I should definitely one of these days.
I feel very fortunate that, I'm working and doing what I do in a community where there's such a vibrant theater community. Yep. And I feel very, I don't know, blessed is the word, but it's great, you know?
Me too.
Let me talk about your sister. Yeah. The show was called Indecent,
Indecent,
I think,
yes.
At American Stage.
Yes.
And I met her before I met you.
Yep.
She's really good. You guys are twins.
We are. That's my twin sister, Emma Friedman.
Yeah.
We both went to actually University of Florida together. We both got our degrees, both in acting and as well as actually a business degree. So we dual majored while we were there. And both are kind of on the same path of like we moved home. We're trying to figure it out. Got kind of sucked into the Tampa theater scene, loving it. But yeah, she was in Indecent. Absolutely adored that show.
And so did I.
She was in that show with an actor named Michael Raver. And he, again, long story short, he is actually the reason that I got pulled to do The Immigrant again in Sarasota, because he really championed him and Emma. I mean, he's just a fantastic actor and is just really championed to pull one of us into it. And because I was already doing it in Sarasota, like, hey, you should do it here. They had lost their actor actually, who was supposed to play my role kind of last minute. And he was like, I know someone who's doing it in Tampa.
What was the company in Sarasota?
It's called Sarasota Jewish Theater. Okay. I think they're relatively new. They started during the pandemic. And they tell Jewish stories.
Well, I was going to say it's a perfect show for that. It also, and it has a lot to, Indecent had a lot of the same sort of things.
100%. Yeah.
And we can't have enough of that stuff.
I agree.
Totally. Two more quick things.
Yes.
And then I think you get to go home.
No.
Not yet, though. You have a BA in business administration.
I do.
Which is what I always thought BA stood for. But that's another story. Why? Is that just sort of, if this acting thing doesn't work out, I can go run a company somewhere?
I hate to put it that way, but kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Growing up, I will credit this to my mother, who she was always very like academic, put academics first. All of her children, I have three siblings, so there's four of us. The academics were very important when we went off to college. My older brother also has a BFA in musical theater. We're a big theater family. Mm. And he went, and my older sister has a BA in theater and also a BA in business administration. Wow. It was just kind of this push to like, they're so encouraging of us doing theater. They love that all their kids are so involved in the theater. They love it. But just kind of wanted us, it was more so of make the most of your time in college and get that second degree so that you could have, if you needed it, some sort of security. And I am forever grateful that she made, I quote unquote, made me do that, because it only just makes me better and, or not better.
More marketable.
Exactly. Exactly. A little less shaky in, oh gosh, I don't have a gig. What the heck do I do?
I mean, can you ever see that coming to fruition? Like, yeah, well, the theater stuff's a little dried up.
I worry about that all the time. Yeah. I think that's, you know, kind of the reason why in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I should get this business degree. But it's so helpful. There was no downside to doing that. Both of my older siblings both have master's degrees from UF, and they, again, my older brother, he just moved back to New York actually this weekend.
It's kind of a brainy family out there, Noah.
it was, I hate to say it was a backup plan, but it was more just, I want a little more security just in case. Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you never have to use it because you're going great guns around here. The other thing I wanted to mention is that on the job site bio, it says you're a photographer. Is that something to talk about? Have you had a show anywhere?
Sure. I actually take headshots, essentially. I started in high school. Mm-hmm. I started doing people's headshots and graduation pictures, and I kind of continued that through college. And being in the theater, you know, lots of people who need that stuff.
Right.
And also being on a college campus, lots of people need graduation pictures, so I don't do those so much anymore. Mm-hmm. I consistently take people's headshots. I meet lots of really cool people in this community through doing that. I still do that.
Well, let's give a final plug to POTUS. POTUS runs through September 29th at Jobsite Theater, and by God, I'm going to tell you the whole title, because it's now up on my screen. POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive.
Yes.
That's what you said before.
I think I missed the great in front of dumbass.
Well, but I don't know how great this particular dumbass is. This guy's a real maroon, let me tell you. So listen, it's on stage at the Schimberg through the 29th. That's in the Strass Center over there, right between the river and Ashley on Tampa. You can go to Jobsite Theater, that's E-R, the way it should be spelled, .org, E-R as opposed to R-E, jobsitetheater.org. And Noah Friedman, what a pleasure to speak to you today.
Thank you. I thank you for having me.
And we'll watch you. You know, once POTUS ends, we'll come to see whatever the next thing is.
See the next one. All awesome. Right.
Have
thank
a great
you.
One.